been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting live every Thursday. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. We're live in the studio today. This is the internet show where we interview the best and brightest entrepreneurs, business owners all across the state of Texas about the do's and don'ts of building, growing a successful business. We have a guest host. My friend Brian Schweiker called him up this morning. We had some other business we were talking about. I said, Brian, what are you doing? What's up, Brian?
Hey, thanks for having me, Dan. Yeah. Really appreciate the quick call this morning and glad to be here.
So you, I said, come on the show, and he popped in.
You were third on the list, by the way.
I'm impressed I'm that high on Dan's list.
So we have a guest host and Brian Schweiker, who's also an entrepreneur. And then we are interviewing today Mr. Bob Fuller. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Yeah, I've been after you for how long to come on the show? 2 or 3 months or something, right? Catherine, you were up in Canada. Yep. You're building a house or something up there.
Yep.
Yeah. So we are delighted to have you on the show, and we'll get into your story here in a little bit. But before we do, I want to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship, and I want to talk about some of the things that we're doing with Sam Houston State University. And by the way, along with Sam Houston State University Entrepreneurship Degree Program, the Shrimp Tank and faculty of SHSU we'll also hear live pitches of new business ideas from young, aspiring entrepreneurs all across the state of Texas in front of our panel of business owners. And this is to see whether or not these business these entrepreneurs will sink or swim in the tank. So, you know, Shrimp Tank's a little playoff Shark Tank, right?
Sure.
And I think that the event that we have in the fall, it's going to be a little bit like Shark Tank meets The Voice. What do you think about that?
Oh, like it. Oh. As long as I'm not singing.
Well, you know, we might give you a shot at it today, Brian. You know, being a guest host, we got to figure out how to, put you on the spot.
I like it.
But the entrepreneurs will not be seeking to raise investment capital. It'll be for mentorship. And so along with that, Catherine is with us here for at least a portion of our show today. Thank you for being on air today, Catherine.
Thank you.
Yes.
Asking.
And let me ask you, along with Sam Houston State University, we have a commercial banking show we're going to do live in the classroom. When is that?
November 17th.
November 17th. Mm-hmm. So as you know, that Sam Houston State University has this entrepreneurship degree program, and they have a campus right here in the Woodlands. So Ray Sanders, who is the chairman of the Interfaith, also teaches, he's an executive at Woodforest Bank, but he teaches the commercial banking class there. So kind of excited, you know, that we're going to get to do that show in the classroom. And last week, of course, we were in Tom Balsh cigar room at the Saddle River Gun Range, did a live show there. So who knows, Schweiker, we might come over and shoot a show at your office.
What do you think? I like it.
Yeah, you got a buzzing new office over there. Real estate agents running all around.
Real excited. We now have 25 agents in our office. Mike Cedar and I own a branch franchise of Remax The Woodlands in Spring. Just completed an 8,400 square foot building where we just moved in March, and really enjoying that extra space. And agents are all real happy.
So the way I see that, there's going to be more fishing for you and more going on the boat. And just let all these agents run around and make you money. Is that what the plan is?
I'm looking forward to that. Yes, sir.
And so we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship today. And I got to say, and maybe Bob gets you to weigh in on this, but you know, if you started a new business and you've actually been involved in a number of businesses over the years, but if you were going to do a business or a new venture, where would you go besides Texas and maybe Houston and maybe the Woodlands? I mean, I think we're in the hottest economy in the country right now. Is that possible?
I'm just going to have to go with, I mean, I think that Texas is a very business-friendly environment. I mean, if you look at the growth in Texas over the rest of the country, it's definitely more favorable than a lot of other states.
Hey, they're pouring in from California, right? All these new companies are opening up. And I don't know how, Brian, you attend some of these, events about the Woodlands and the growth and all of the area here. And your business is certainly booming, and what are you seeing as far as growth trends in the area?
I would agree with that. California is getting tougher and tougher for businesses to do business in that state. We've had a couple of really big transfers in recently.
Yeah. Can you say who?
Oh, it sure can. We had Waste Connection. Waste Connection is one that came in and brought a big group of people, and they're doing real well here.
Yeah, maybe they're just getting sick of the regulation and the taxes and all of that. And you know what? It's all something we have in the back of our minds coming up with this new election that is right around the corner. And we want to be thinking about that and be thinking about how these different tax plans affect entrepreneurs in general. So I want the listeners to keep in mind that entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you go into it knowing that half of the new small businesses, they fail within the first 5 years. I mean, Bob, was that in the back of your mind, or was there a plan B, or how did you
burn the ship, baby?
Burn it.
What?
I said ship.
Oh, right. Sorry.
As in vessel.
Yeah, actually, you know, that's why I have such high regard and respect for entrepreneurs, because they put it all on the line. They have no guarantee. I know later, Bob, we're going to talk about some of your ideas about multiple plans and kind of like we talked about the game of chess. I really want to hear your insights on that, because I thought it was really good when we were talking by the show. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here in the studio today with our special guest, Bob Fuller. Don't forget, you can always download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So a couple of my favorite quotes going into the show here about getting started, launching your business is, it was Nike said, just to do it. And another quote is, success does not come to you. You have to go for it. You have to have the courage, and you have to have the vision. So, Bob, could you tell us a little bit about where that started for you?
Sure. I believe that. Are you wanting to talk about like which business to get into?
Your journey as an entrepreneur. I mean, going back your personal story.
If we can dive into that. Way far back. I mean, I remember buying Boy's Life when I was 13 years old, and they would sell you these Christmas cards.
Uh huh.
And they would sell them to you for $1.25, and you'd go door to door, and you'd sell them for $1.50. And you'd make your 25 cents.
Okay, so you started as an entrepreneur at 13 years old.
Yeah, and a poor lady down the road had about 400 boxes of Christmas cards, because I'd sell them to her about every chance I got. But I realized that if I bought them for $1.25 and I sold them for $2, I only had to sell one third.
So you at 13, you think entrepreneurship's a gene that you're kind of born with, or what do you think about that?
I think it's possible.
Or a mental illness.
At times it is.
Uh-huh. At times it can feel like a mental illness, because it's kind of a crazy life. But when you say you started at 13, and I reflect at, 14 years old, I wasn't an entrepreneur, but I was working 30 hours a week washing dishes at the country club, lied about my age to get a job. And, I just was a little worker hustler, and that, transitioned later into entrepreneurship. But I know that you're building a lovely home in Vancouver Island in Canada, and I don't think you got there selling Christmas cards. So tell us a little bit more, Bob is a Navy SEAL. Okay. So we're honored and thank you for your service. I'd like to say that first of all, but mm-hmm. I'm guessing some of the skill sets and some of the mindsets that you acquired as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, that maybe you might have picked some of that up along your journey and becoming a Navy SEAL. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Obviously, I'm not promoting a book, so just want to go on record there. I think for me it was a turning point in my life, and I honestly believe that everyone should do some sort of civil service when they get out of school, and it doesn't have to be after college. It can be after high school. And I think for me it was going in and the discipline that the military provides. And it does not matter what branch of service you go into, you will get out what you put into it. And for me it was for my experience, I was fortunate enough to be involved and graduate from BUDS and go to a team in the 80s.
Okay.
And so all the taxpayers paid us money to fly around in the world and drink beer.
Wow.
I want that job.
I want that job.
Right.
Sign me up.
But I believe that one of the things is that I learned through that process was to always have contingency plans for your contingency plans for your contingency plans. And then the other one comes down to people selection. if you look at all the special operations groups around the in our country, they go through a very rigorous selection process. And most companies, Fortune 500, all the way down to the small business owners, don't have a clue about people selection. They go, oh, I like you. I think I would have you at my barbecue. And then you hire them and you realize they're horrible.
Yeah.
And it's because you'll spend more time researching buying a photocopier than you will hiring an employee that you potentially could pay millions of dollars over their career.
I got to say he's right about that. And I don't know, Brian, if you could speak to this. We've had different people that I, knowing you in business for the last 20 years, I know that I've made a couple of the worst hires I've ever made were people that did the best in the interview. What has been your experience with that,
yeah,
Brian?
I feel the same way. And that's something that I'm learning on a regular basis. I've been in real estate now for 22 years and a lot of different facets of it. And that is something I'm learning on a continual basis is that we are, and I tell people too, when we interview them, we are a little bit slow to hire.
You need to be slow to hire and quick to fire.
You got it. And that's one of the things that, you know, that we do. And I have a business coach that I use that specializes in some of the real estate transactions and things that we do that have really helped me with that. Some personality testing and doing some things way before we hire.
So, Bob, did you guys, and you built your, and one of the companies that you've now sold and was in the assisted living care business that you and your partner Randy y'all sold out of that, correct?
Right. Now, correct.
I mean that was a. Do you mind if I say how much you guys sold that business for?
No.
No.
No, that's fine.
Don't say it. I don't know. It was $29 million. I mean, it was a pretty big deal that you guys started this with a vision and an idea, and you took it from ground zero to nothing, and you did it. You assembled a team of people. Now you're talking about selection. Did you and Randy, as you built this, did you use some tools about getting good hires, like personality testing?
Well, I want to give kudos to my business partner, Randy Vanstory. Him and I were involved in another organization prior to starting that company, and they had brought these people in to do this analysis on the current employees. And out of that, Randy wrote a book called If You Hire Dogs, You're Going to Get Fleas.
Oh, wow.
And it was a great book. It basically just took what we learned in that process and brought it down to a good hiring model. And so, I mean, that's very helpful, you know, and I think a lot of people, they're looking for the personality versus, I mean, if I can go into it, we always looked at four C's: character, culture, compensation, and competency.
If you're listening to this and you're an entrepreneur, you're aspiring, you should write this down. Say it again, Bob, because these are key takeaways from the interview and something I'm gonna write down myself, actually.
Character.
Okay.
Culture. Will this person fit into your environment? Will they be an asset to the team that you have currently put together? Compensation. Does the compensation that you're offering match up with the compensation that they're expecting? There's nothing worse to hiring somebody for X, and then 90 days later, they go, I was expecting Y. So, I mean, it's just another check mark.
Sort that out early on.
Yeah. And then competency. Competency is the other one that, you know, competency is different than experience.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you look at a resume and somebody has been in, you know, pick anything, oil and gas, and they've been in there 25 years, but they've had 20 jobs. Well, right. There's a red flag. You know, why have they had so many jobs? Okay, let's talk about, you know, what were your accomplishments in those jobs? Were you a top 10% producer? You know, I mean, all these things that don't ever get asked in interviews in huge companies.
So part of the success that you and Randy had in building this family of assisted living care centers was that you built a team of people together, your team up, and you used a lot of these core qualifiers, character, culture, compensation, and competency. And with that, we're going to go to a short commercial break. We're going to be back in about 30 seconds with our guest, Bob Fuller. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, the radio show for entrepreneurs. Don't go away. We will be right back with more on Bob Fuller's story.
Straight Line Auto Pros are different. Unlike other car dealerships, we don't just help you find auto financing. We are here for you every step of the way. At Straight Line Auto Pros, we want to offer you great auto financing options and get you in the right used car. With high quality vehicles and top-notch customer service, we are able to offer choices for people who may have been turned down and away from other dealers. Call us at 281-259-7340 or visit us at www.straightlineautopros.com.
And we are back live with Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you from the studio in the Woodlands. We're here with Bob Fuller. Our special guest co-host today is Mr. Brian Schweiker. And hey, joining us to the party here, what's he doesn't have his headphones on yet, but
I can talk though.
We've tested your mic. What's up, Tom?
How are you doing? Sorry I'm late.
Yeah.
I'm subbing in for Catherine here.
So. Yeah, well, so glad that you're here. And I want to say, don't forget, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So, Bob, I've been excited about your show for the last 90 days, just with anticipation of you coming on the air and getting to a little deeper dive into your story. And Tom is really asked great questions, and we're gonna kind of pepper you here with a few. All of us really and kick some of this around, but
well, the great news is if I don't know the answer, I'm going to make something up.
That's the best way to do it, right?
Wing it. So coming out of the Navy SEALs, you had a certain set of disciplines and training and all of that, and kind of where did your entrepreneurial journey take you just after you got out of the Navy SEALs?
Well, first I had to go get a job.
Uh-huh.
A job working for somebody, because I had absolutely zero business experience. So I went to work for a very fast-growing litigation support company that was founded here in Houston, and went through the paces. You know, I went on as a straight commission sales rep, and got promoted through the ranks over a 5-year period. Ended up being a managing partner in Southern California, and the truth is that there was an earthquake there. I don't know if you guys remember, in 1994, and my wife was saying, we're leaving. Yeah. And so we came back to Texas. And
is Sherry a Texas girl?
Oh, yeah. Cypress. Yeah.
Okay.
And so married 33 years, and she's smoking hot. Just wanted to let you know.
Hey, congratulations.
And she's not here because.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. But we came back here, and there was the guy that actually hired me at that other company had left the company and was looking to go more into a digital area of litigation support. And I had been more on the paper side of the litigation support. And so we literally flipped a coin at Biba's Once a Meal on Memorial as to whether or not we were going to open a paper-based or a digital-based company. Now, you got to remember, in 1994, 99% of the computers out there were like DOS.
Oh, yeah. Tom, you can speak to that. I mean, well, you came up through Compact, right?
Yeah, I did. I was, in the early days with, a couple of IT companies. And so, yeah, DOS is like a four-letter word, right?
And to Bob's point there, you know, he has that reflection of where they drew that plan up. And I understand the Compact computer company was drawn up on a cocktail napkin at a House of Pies down on Kirby Drive in Houston. The story goes all the way back there. But okay, so young listeners, entrepreneurial takeaway from what Bob's story is look, he didn't start out owning a significant company. He had to start in the work. He had to go get a job and build value somewhere, make a living, right?
Well that, and get experience.
And get some experience so he could become an entrepreneur. But, you know, I guess if you're in school, maybe you're in the entrepreneurship degree program at Sam Houston State, it doesn't mean you're going to own your own company the day you walk outside, right? Brian,
right.
Did you?
No, sir. No, sir.
Yeah, you had to go shovel a little, whatever somewhere before you got in the position that you're in today, right?
So that's what I wanted to talk about with Bob. So I looked at your background and saw that you went from the SEALs to, straight into, some positions. And you didn't really have, an advanced degree or any formal training, but you've been raising capital for a couple of different businesses I saw. I heard Dan talk about the one you just sold. And so you've done it pretty much the hard way, kind of learning as you go or making it up as you go.
Self-taught.
Is that about right? Or
I'm not going to say self-taught. I mean, I think everybody has people that they look to get advice. And I think for me, there's no bad experience. And I know that sounds kind of funny, But if you don't have a bad experience, you don't know it's a bad experience.
Right.
And so therefore, you know, you want to take all those bad experiences and learn something from them. And so, you know, I've had some things that have gone on in my different businesses that were not positive. But instead of just, you know, crying in my milk, we would, and I've been so fortunate to have a good business partner throughout my entrepreneurship career. And I have a great business partner today in the used car business and the subprime financing business.
Yeah, let's give a shout out to Mr. Clark Graham. Actually, over the years, I've got to know Clark, and I'd consider him a friend and worked alongside him on a couple of different things. And you guys have a business that is out on 2978 right now. And
just west of the Woodlands.
Just west of the Woodlands. And you guys do, it's like second chance automobiles and financing for people that may not line up with all of the credit requirements at some of the traditional paths.
Yeah, and I just want to go on record and saying, I never, ever, ever, ever dreamed that I would be in the used car business. And honestly, I don't really care what kind of business I'm in. If I can wrap my head around it and I can see that with the right processes in place, it can be successful. I mean, that's really what I'm looking for. And I'm going to blame it on Clark because it was Clark's idea. But we've been open almost 2 years. It's gone very well.
You guys started this from scratch?
Yes.
But well, you were retired. You're like, what, 50 years old, and you're in a position financially to be retired. I mean, I guess you and Sherry could go blow bubbles on the beach and not have to worry about it, but you've got that entrepreneurial gene. You had to scratch that itch some sort of way, right?
Yep.
Sounds like there's a need for it, too, out here.
There is. And I don't want to get into politics because that'll
why
be
not?
A whole other deal.
We're not afraid to talk about God, politics,
but
whatever.
I had some non-negotiables on what I wanted. I didn't want to do anything that was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I had been doing that since 1989. Right. The second thing is I did not want a business that I had more than 50 employees. Thank you, President Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The business we sold.
Don't worry. The Obamacare is collapsing right now as we speak.
Well, I'll tell you, it was unbelievable. We had 180 employees at that business that we just sold. And I'm going to say 177 were women.
Yeah.
But every year, the hardest part of running our business was getting renewed for insurance.
Yep.
We watched our insurance premiums go through the roof.
This was Autumn Grove? Is that what you're
Yes.
I'm from the government, and I'm here to help, is what Ronald Reagan said. Right. They're the scariest words known to a business owner. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
You know, and Sherry and I were having a conversation this morning about the, you know, there's two sets of people. There's the people that want to raise taxes because that thinks that it's going to raise federal revenue. And then you have the other people that say we need lower taxes because it's going to spark the economy. And
which will raise revenue.
So I'm telling Sherry about the traveling dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for every dollar you put back into an entrepreneur's pocket, think about where that dollar goes. It goes to their vendor. That goes to their vendor, that goes to their vendor, and it gets taxed all along the way.
Yeah, and that doesn't play very well into the class warfare narrative, does it? You know, so telling people, hey, let's sock it to the rich. I heard a statistic the other day that said the top 1% already pay 45% of all taxes. So, you know, the whole fair share thing. Anyway, I'm not hard to get me off track on that. producer's telling me it's time to go to another commercial, and we're going to be right back. We're going to be back in 30 seconds with our special guest, Bob Fuller. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live from Studio in the Woodlands. And when we return, we're going to pepper Bob a little bit. We're going to try to make you squirm a little bit, Bob. We got a little hot or not section. We're going to ask you how you feel about some certain topics in the entrepreneurial space for which you're well experienced. Can't wait to hear your answers on that. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Is planning, saving, and investing for retirement been on your to-do list for far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put planning for your future off any longer. Get started today. Call 281-466-4843 or visit us on the web at www.providentwealthllc.com.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. And we are back on the Deep Entrepreneurial Dive with our special guest, Bob Fuller. Joining me in the studio today is my co-host, Brian Schweiker, guest co-host Brian Schweiker today, and also Tom Glover. And Tom, as an entrepreneur himself, provides fractional chief operating officer services for numerous entrepreneurs in the community. So, Bob, we're going to get into our hot or not section, and we're going to ask you a few things and maybe talk about a few of them. But just in general, I want your first impression. Let's start with hiring family members.
See, he's trying to look ahead.
You hot or not. don't look ahead. You don't need a script. Hiring family members. The idea in general, hot or not. You like it or no?
Well, the answer is go back to what I said. Character, competency, compensation, and culture. If they can get the job on their own, then hire them. If they can't, don't.
Great answer. Great answer. So
good answer.
So what Bob's saying is that you don't earn a spot just because we've got a similar chromosomes or something like that. Because you're my son or my nephew or my cousin or any of that. You got to pass these other tests just like anybody else, right?
That's correct.
You don't get to become a Navy SEAL because you're some senator's son, do you?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
I don't know.
They got to go through the
training. I don't know. Yeah.
But a family member too. What I like about your answer, Bob, was they're not excluded just because they're a family member.
They're not.
Those four.
But they also immediately when they're hired, there's a book called The Sacred Cow. I don't know if you've heard of it. And those are the employees that are untouchable.
Right.
And if you have that,
doesn't sound good.
No, it's not good. And so you have advantages of hiring family because you would think that being related, they're gonna have your back and they're gonna do things that maybe a regular employee won't do.
Like your wife worked with you, Sherry.
Absolutely,
right?
Phenomenal. And you know what? I had zero input into her moving into the position that she did running that company.
If anybody called her a sacred cow, I think somebody gets smacked. I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
But family members, typically, you get the whole spectrum, right? You get the ones that are dedicated and they're working and watching your back. And you get the ones that feel entitled and they won't lift a finger and they are, the worst employee you could have. So
I think Bob's given us the best answer. We've asked other guests on our show that question and we've had people say, oh, yeah, I love it. It's great. And we've had other people say, no, don't do that. Don't mix family and business and all of that. But I really like Bob's answer is that they need to pass these core competencies like anyone else.
You got to hold them to the same standard, right?
Yeah, they shouldn't be brought in just because they're a family member and they shouldn't be excluded to Brian's point that so what about how do you feel about negotiating your prices? You know, they say in business and, Donald Trump's, Mr. King negotiator. And I guess some things that applies to and some things it doesn't. But in general, how do you feel about negotiation for the different prices and metrics of which you charge people for products and services?
That's a great question. I'm going to go back to the assisted living side. So I actually got this answer from an RN that we hired. Great lady. Her name's Lisa. And Lisa, if you're listening, you're getting credit for this.
Go Lisa.
But we were talking about what do we charge for rent? Because we were one of the first companies in Houston to do this smaller, concept. And so we were getting all tied up into this emotional, it's like, is it $49.99, that whole number thing. And she goes, she said, Bob, figure out what your costs are, add your margin, and that's your price.
Bam.
Wow.
And I went, oh, wow, that's pretty good.
Bam. Right. Now, was she the CEO you hired?
She was an RN. She had experience in the
RN.
Industry. And absolutely.
Maybe an entrepreneurial gene.
Possibly, yeah.
What do you think about that, Tom? I mean, those are kind of getting over in your space.
Yeah, well, I've got two schools of thought. One of the popular opinions is you figure out what the market will bear and that's what you charge. The other one is, cost plus, depends if your costs are in line and that sort of thing. So I think you should look at it always and then figure out what's going to be the right answer for your market.
I want to make a political point because I'm kind of a political guy. If you know me,
right.
But we're here, this class warfare sort of thing where we're here like sock it to the rich. And I want people to remember, when you could pass some special law that says, okay, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, Shell, all of you big oil companies, we're just decided that you big, rich, greedy oil companies, that we're going to slap a new 25% tax on you that you've never seen before. And for a lot of people, that might be a popular, yeah, give it to, to sock it to them. Guess what happens when you show up at the pump the next day to fill up your car with gas. Is it the same price or is it going to be 25% more?
It's going to be probably 30% more because they're going to put a 5% in pain factor.
So who paid that when you talk about, you know, socking it to the man?
Yeah, we all did.
Right?
Well, yeah. It's like every time it comes up on this minimum wage deal. So look what happened in Washington State when they raised the – and I think it was Washington State. I'm not 100% sure, but guess what? You're now ordering from a kiosk.
And McDonald's went out and created these kiosks at $15 an hour. That's fine. So the jobs actually vanished largely, or many of them vanished. That there just was no job. And I think the big takeaway there – it's a good point, Bob – is that – people need a start. Like you were talking earlier, okay, you didn't just build a $30 million company. You know, you had to grow and mature and develop. These entry-level jobs are for people to get a start, Brian.
Right,
you got young sons, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, there's a little spot in my business for them, running around and putting up some signs and lock boxes and going to the bank and giving them little things to, you know, to learn. And I think that's a great thing. And Bob, you were talking about the Christmas cards or the cards that you were selling. For me, it was lawn mowing. You know, I started at a very early age lawn mowing. And then when I was old enough to have a job, I lied about my age, too. And I worked at a little place called Castellana. If you guys lived here any time.
So cross off that. Character.
Hey, cross off characters. Right.
So we got two out of four of the guests.
I was a busboy there. And my mom, I bought my truck. You know, my parents, we know my dad was a career policeman. We had four kids in our family. My mom stayed at home. Okay, so when we didn't have any extra money,
you had to hustle if you wanted something.
You wanted a little extra, you had to hustle. We opened, you know, school started. My mom flipped open the Sears catalog and said, "Hey, pick out two pairs of pants and three shirts, and you might have to look at those tough skins because the knees won't wear out."
Yeah, and you get a hole in those, and we're going to be a patch on it.
Yeah,
and I think you can roll those pant legs up five times.
You can. That's right.
Let's get them a little long.
But that's how you have to start. My mom, you know, I bought my truck. I made a couple little payments on it. Got a little taste for pride in working and starting at the bottom. Mom used to drive that truck to Castellana. She'd slide over, and I'd drive it back because I had my permit. Okay, and that's how I started. You know, just grinding it out. Just
that's how you got to get a start. So,
get a start.
Take equity partners, business partners. You already told us about part of your success was having a great partner. So I know that your answer to that. Just curious, Bob, are there any mentors that you have, and whether that's a personal relationship or maybe an author that you've read and you just said, hey, I really connect with some of these precepts or concepts. Any mentorship now or in the past of your life that you can think of?
Sure, plenty. And it's not one. It's depends on what the area that I'm looking for. You know, if I want to learn about financial planning, I'm going to go to you. You know, if I'm going to go for real estate, I'm going to go to Brian. You know, but if I'm not going to go to you for real estate, for finding me a home.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what the topic is.
Yep. So in business, and as it relates to business, any in your business companies and things in the past, any that come to mind?
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a guy named Ben, and just for his sake, because I don't have permission, I'm not going to say his last name, but he ran a business in New Jersey. And so when we were thinking about getting into the assisted living business, my first question was, in this space, who is doing it the best? And there was a breakout group in Arizona, and this particular company and this gentleman were mentioned. So I just called him on the phone, and I said, hey, can I come visit with you for a couple of days and pick your brain? I promise I will not come to New Jersey.
Amen.
Right.
And so, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, I can go see what's working great, implement everything that I think would work great, and then you have some flexibility to do some things the way you would want to do it.
You'd be surprised how many people are open to that when you make that phone call.
So, Bob, one of the things that struck me is that it sounds like you're really good at picking partners. And so what do you look for when you're looking to team up with somebody?
It's the four C's. I mean, it's no different.
You put the same test to them.
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing too is also where are you in your life as compared to where is your partner in their life? You know, the business partners can be completely, different in terms of lifestyle or economic position or whatever. But it tends to work a lot better if you have somebody that's in a similar life situation. so that you're carrying that burden equally.
Got it.
So have you been like thinking of a business idea or a company you want to start and find a partner, or do you find a partner and you guys work to create something kind of from scratch?
It's find the partner and then figure out the business. Okay. I've never thought of a business and
Then look for a partner.
I never, ever in any of my businesses thought I would be in that business.
Wow.
Really?
That's interesting. That's an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you said the car salesman thing. Yeah, that's
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
And on that note, producer's telling me we need to go to our last commercial break. We'll be back. We're live on Shrimp Tank Podcast. Don't forget, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. In the studio with me is Bob Fuller. Don't go away. We've got some great things coming up. We'll be right back. As a business owner, are you overpaying your taxes? According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Contact the team at Provident and Financial Gravity to explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a 15 to 30 minute no obligation assessment, we'll determine if we can substantially reduce your tax burden. And if so, we'll develop a tax savings plan utilizing our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us online at www.providentwealthllc.com. And we are back live in studio, and I'm getting that time look from our producer that says that we are actually, we're not out of time yet, but she's kind of giving me the eye. What do you think? Notice that?
No, yeah. Let's run long.
Yeah.
I got here late. I want to
continue. Hey, look. Yeah. So, look, we want to get to the plead the fifth. You know, we want to make you pepper you with some questions, make you uncomfortable. We got a little section, Bob, called plead the fifth. And this is an opportunity for us to ask you some questions. And on plead the fifth, we'll give you one free spin. One, you can just say, hey, I don't want to answer that. I plead the fifth, right? So, okay, just one, though. Otherwise, you got to answer. Okay, you got to handle the truth right here on the on the shrimp tank. All right? So, everybody got this? Let's just start off. Is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
You'd have to ask Sherry. But I will tell you this, that an entrepreneur cannot be successful without a supportive spouse. And I got to tell you, my wife for years and years and years, I would go to her and say, hey, we're putting it all out there. We may be in a very small apartment. And she's like, do what you got to do.
A supportive spouse.
That's great.
And you know what? I know you and Sherry both personally. I think that she'd be okay with the idea. What do you think Jill have to say about that, Brian?
I think the same thing. I mean, you've got to have a supportive spouse.
Yeah. I mean, okay. What do you do if you don't?
Uh-oh. Plead the fifth.
Yeah.
I guess, exactly. Yeah, you get a J-O-B, like you said, or you got to kind of, right. Start interviewing, right?
Yeah. Huh. For a new spouse.
Right. Yeah.
For an interview. Look for the three or four C's, right?
Okay. So, Bob, you ever had two employees hook up in the office? Oh, that's an awkward silence. What about?
No, I'm trying to think.
And it can't be you and Sherry, okay?
Oh, well, I guess that's, yeah. you know what? Not that I know of.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, some of these HR handbooks, they have things to say about, what you can do with the...
I'm a conservative and kind of independent, and I don't care what people do in their own home.
Yeah. Right. What about your home, though? I mean, you know, your place of business is your home. I mean, how do you feel about... two employees kind of making time over there at the business that you're operating.
You know what? I don't get emotional about that. I mean, as long as it doesn't interfere with their work. And if it does, guess what? One of them has to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we got to always ask the Trump or Hillary question, right?
Sure.
We're 100%. You could probably figure out which one. But so Trump or Hillary, that's a question to you, Bob.
Trump.
Okay. 100% still.
I'm just shocked that a Navy SEAL doesn't want to, give up his Second Amendment rights. What's up with that?
Oh, it is so much more than that.
Okay. So that's all it was.
So let's not, we could go entirely off the rails with that. So anyway, let the record reflect that Mr. Bob Fuller said that he's Trump. And I think that the entrepreneurs and the business owners that we've talked to, they've been pretty pro-Trump, haven't they?
Well, I think we're 100%. I haven't heard anybody say Clinton that I can recall.
Yeah. Listen, guys, I don't know.
Hey, listen. Bill didn't pick her. Why should we?
Ooh.
Bro.
I gotta what was that about off the rails?
I got to tell you something, okay? No, everybody likes the idea of sock it to the fat cat, but if you read the recent Forbes study, it showed that there is a difference in the Clinton tax plan and the Trump plan, that if you make $100,000 per year, you're looking at $5,500 of additional taxes under the Hillary plan if she's elected. Now, $100,000 is not – you're not a wealthy person, okay? Maybe you are to some people. Maybe you are to a starving college student. But if you make $100,000 a year and you have a home and a couple of kids – you're probably, yeah. You know, life's tight with money.
There's not much left over.
There's not probably extra $5,500 that you're going to send away to our wonderful stewards, the federal government. By the way, $5,500 of money compounding with an annual addition of $5,500 at the S&P historical rate of return over 30 years is $1 million. It's a lot. That's $1 million that could go into your retirement or someone else's. So I want the listeners to think about that. That maybe if you're 100, make 100, and you're thinking that sock it to the fat cat's a cool idea. Well, there's somebody that says you're the fat cat, and you're in the crosshairs. And if you're okay with the way everything's gone over the last so many years, and you're okay with another $5,500 to the wonderful stewards in Washington, then get all over it, pull the lever. But
how do you really feel, Dan?
You got to know. Yeah. You got to know what's really, you know, some of the, how it impacts you. Most of the time, people figure out this is why Obamacare is imploding, because you know what? It was a big fat document written by the insurance companies. Most of the insurance company stocks have tripled over the last 8 years because they wrote the whole thing in the back room.
And they're all moving out of Texas, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I told you, we're not afraid about talk about God, religion, politics, whatever. We're a family show. And, you know, I just don't like being opaque and politically correct. That's just garbage.
I do want to make a comment about the tax thing. It's kind of like medical benefits in Congress. How is it that Congress can mandate a medical program to us that they don't participate in? So how is it when 50% of the country doesn't pay any taxes that they get to vote on other people paying taxes?
It's they would say on Shrek, it's redonkulous.
That's pretty good. Listen. I know that there are people that are struggling to make ends meet. But you know what? If it's a half a percent or a percent, they are participating.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Skin in the game. So how about, Bob, one personal success habit that you think has contributed to your success?
Hiring the right people.
Okay, good.
Always hire people smarter than you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of my buddies and stuff that have businesses. They always want to be the smartest guy in the room.
Right.
And you know what? If you're the smartest guy in the room, shame on you.
That's a key point. Check your ego at the door.
Absolutely.
If you're an entrepreneur, that you've nailed it. You got to have
great
smart
point.
People around
great
you.
Point. That's what Tom does. Tom has different business owners that have a great product idea or service, but they may lack some of the acumen that Tom and his experience and working in Fortune 500 environment that he developed over the years. And so they may not be able to afford a guy like Tom, you know, in a full-time salary position, but they can get you, you know, contractually, right?
Yeah. But I guess the point is that if you're starting a company, recognize where you're gapped and find people to help you fill that in, because you need help. You can't do it all yourself.
Well, and that's also the same with business partners. You want to pick business partners that fill in the gaps that
have a complementary set of skills.
Absolutely.
Not where one, you know, ego and another are battling for who gets to decide what, that sort of thing.
Okay, that's great. We are running short on time. I got one more question I want to ask you. And guys, if you want to plug something else, it is we're just really running out of time. But Bob, I want you to maybe speak to our audience, and particularly to maybe the young aspiring entrepreneur who has not yet found the confidence or the courage to kind of step out there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm working at a company and I know my bread's buttered here. I want this entrepreneurial journey, and they've not yet been able to muster that courage to step out. What would you say to that person?
Okay. There's two types of people in that area. So you have wantrepreneurs.
Wannabe
entrepreneurs, and then you have entrepreneurs. The wantrepreneur is the one that wants to keep their corporate salary and benefits and then reap the rewards of an entrepreneur. And I got to tell you, every time I've started a business, I've gone a long time between any income. And it's,
I got to chime in on that. I recommend to business owners all the time, keep the cash going back into the company. Don't start siphoning it off as profit until you've got, you know, really good cash flow and profitability.
And I'm going to make one more comment to tag onto that. I've seen business owners that pay themselves first. And I know that you're supposed to do that with your retirement. But within your business, you should be the last one paid.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because if the monster doesn't live, I mean, everybody goes down.
Right.
So you got to feed the beast.
Yep.
A lot of companies fail because the owners are taking the money out of the company too soon.
Yep.
Yep. Any thoughts on that, Brian?
Like it. No, yeah. Just listening to these guys talk, I'm thinking about my business and what we've done. And when we bought our franchise, we haven't taken a nickel out of it, okay, in 4 years, okay? And we run our own separate production, Mike and I, but our brokerage that we own, we haven't taken anything out of it. And that's a great takeaway.
So I'm with Keller Williams. I might need to come talk to you.
You might need to. Come on.
So you have to build it first. You have to be willing to make the sacrifice. You can't stand there with your hand out and expect all of the rewards. And you may have it or you may not have it. So Bob, also, you one last thing. You mentioned in our conversation, we talked about, or you talked about, failing small. Could you just share with our audience what that concept is? Because I'm not sure what that exactly is, well, but I'd like to know.
It's two things. One is everybody's looking for the next, you know, Apple or, you know, Google or, you know, Facebook that, you know, they want to hit the home run. Okay, well, On the flip side of that, I mean, most people, 99.99% of the people, will never have an opportunity to do that. So fail small is, I had a guy that I talked to a couple of days ago that's interested in opening some similar type facilities that we had in assisted living. And he's talking about opening like 10 of them. And I'm like, you don't even know if the concept will work. Why don't you go put one out there?
Amen.
Right.
You know, two out there. And then if it falls apart, you're not out 10 units, you're out two.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that you need to be able to repurpose, you know, the assets that you've purchased to do that.
Yeah. And if you make two work, then everything starts coming easier. Investment capital comes easier to you. Right. And
everybody wants to get on board.
Proof of concept. Everybody wants to get on board. And with that, gentlemen, we are out of time. You've been listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, the internet show for entrepreneurs, broadcasting to you live from the Woodlands, Texas, right here in studio with Bob Fuller. Bob, it's been a wonderful show. We're so grateful to have you on. And could you tell our listeners, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe it's an entrepreneur, an aspiring entrepreneur, that says, hey, I just wanted to ask a question, or you mind sharing some contact information?
Nope, not at all.
How would somebody get in touch with you?
You can reach me at my email address at bobfuller126@gmail.com. That's bobfuller126@gmail.com.
Yep, it's been a wonderful interview. Thank you all for all our listeners being with us here on Shrimp Tank Podcast. And we will be actually next week, or we don't have a show, do we? Next week we're out of show. Somebody's getting married. Our producer's getting married.
Oh wow.
Yeah, let's give a shout out to Miss Betsy McDonald. She does a wonderful job producing our show. She makes the show work and click. It goes off without a hitch. And also, I'd like to add Catherine Bates to that, because she and Betsy really do the heavy lifting on the Shrimp Tank Podcast.
And Dan, you did hire people smarter than you.
Yes, so
you did good there.
They're smarter. They're better looking.
They're a lot better looking, I would
say. They're harder working.
They're the real brains behind the operation.
There's no question about that. Great show, everybody. And we will see you back here at the Shrimp Tank soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'm a leader. The charge like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's a swim, only option is to win. In the murky
not a thought of giving in.